The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey, what's up? My name is Brant, and producer Sherry is here too. If you don't know the vibe of the show, I spend hours literally before the show coming up with the content, looking for content, and then Sherry doesn't know until I pop it on her.
That's true.
So
in the moment,
you will find out at the same time Sherry does this hour. There's some pretty awesome stuff.
Great.
Yeah, I just there's so much good content out there, Sherry.
Right, you're guys.
Everybody's gonna like it.
Here we go.
This has come up a couple times lately. It hit me pretty hard. Just the stories of difficult things that have happened to people, like horrible, tragic things, losing your own child, that kind of stuff. Terrible. And the question is always, how can God allow bad things to happen to good people? Or how can he allow this? You know what I love? I mean, you can give a philosophical dissertation on this, and we could talk about it for a while. We could do PowerPoint or keynote, whatever you want. We could do a Zoom on it. We could talk about it. We could do a seminar. Jesus could have done that. He didn't. You know what he did is he allowed himself to experience all of this, went through it all himself, and then came out and said, "Don't worry, I've overcome the world." Hmm. Like, I've been through this. You've got to trust me. There is a story here. But his willingness to go through it all, rather than just offer a philosophical treatise on the problem of evil in the world, like, that's amazing. That's who God is. Okay, let's try this. I'm a shock jock, okay, but I'm rated G. But make people think about interesting things that they haven't thought about before.
Yeah.
I read this and thought, that's perfect.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about this before myself, so it's kind of shocking. In an interesting way. You know how you could say, have a nice day? It sounds very welcoming and kind.
Yes.
But if you say, like, have a nice 24 hours, it sounds foreboding and...
It's ominous.
Ominous and creepy.
Have you ever heard anyone say, have a nice 24 hours?
Not until
hours?
I just said it.
Okay.
But this
so
is
no
kinda,
one ever says it.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, but it's, you mean the same thing. You could say that, but it's just, like, it's weird how if you just insert hours in there, it makes people feel like suddenly it's a, a countdown or something.
Did they miss? But nobody ever does it, I guess.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
But they could, and if they did, it would
be shocking.
I just think it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Maybe not shocking. I mean, it's pretty interesting. You never thought about it. You know, it's sad we have to say this, but we should say this. Let's remind each other of this. You're not a failure if you're hopeful. Right now, I think a lot of people would feel like, I'm not supposed to be hopeful. But if I'm a believer in God, I have to be hopeful. There's no way around this. If you're thinking, I can't see any way, looking at all the things that are happening in the world from this perspective, from that perspective, I can't see any reason to be hopeful at all, then I'm afraid, you know, we've taken our eyes off who God is. So David was writing in Psalms, he even said this. Here's a guy who was under attack, and it's ridiculous for us to think that things are worse now than they were for other people at other times. It's just not true. So he's threatened, and he writes, "In peace I'll lie down and sleep." This is in Psalm 4. "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." He's like, ultimately, that's all I got is him. That's it. But he's enough. If you're the person who did this, just a little heads up, we don't really know how to feel about you.
What?
Reese's is launching a new product.
Mm-hmm.
The peanut butter cup people.
Yeah.
A giant cup that's stuffed also with potato chips inside it.
A giant, so the cup is made of Reese's?
Yeah, but it's a little bigger, and then they have little chips.
Chips.
In there.
Baby chips in the...
They were already pretty good. Reese's peanut butter cup's pretty good. And then now you're putting in something a little crunchy in there with a little
and
salt.
Salty.
So
what are we saying?
Did you ruin something awesome?
Or did you start something awesome?
Or did you start something awesome? We don't know. We're divided. He is a personal finance guru. His name is Ramit Sethi. And he says, I think this is pretty smart. It's like, don't spend more than a few seconds on minor decisions.
Okay.
Too many decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Colgate or like the peppermint. It says plaque control. Just get some.
I do feel that way.
Yeah, because you do that about everything.
Yes.
Too many decisions. So he said, ask yourself, is this something that actually matters, or should this be a 2-second decision? ironically, he's foisting another decision on us, but I know that's not what he means to
right,
do.
Right, right.
But it really is true at some point.
That's a good point.
My goodness, there's so much stuff. Just trim some of it back. Feel bad. If you got a dog and like you're working at home, but you got to work in another room, dog needs to be in another, you just feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like dog's like, hey, well, I thought we were a thing and
right.
then you're in there.
You're home more, but I can't be in there with you.
Found a playlist. There's a bunch of these playlists. This is called Music for Dogs.
Okay.
But you play it while you're gone and it helps them relax.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it goes like this. I mean, this is what it sounds like. I was playing on my phone here. I can hear a little bit. It's kind of chill. The whole album's like music like this. I felt sorry for the saxophone player because I'm guessing when he or she was playing this and recording it, they were thinking, wow, this is romantic and cool.
Yeah,
and
people will enjoy it.
As soon as you're done recording, the producer's like, okay, that was for some dogs. Yeah, for sleeping dogs.
Not good for humans.
Yeah, yeah, it's for them. Apparently, this is the vibe I get from the Bible, like how I treat people says everything. Mm-hmm. About whether I love God or not.
Mm-hmm.
And how I treat people is a better indicator of the state of my heart. But people who interrupt me, who I don't like, mm-hmm. interrupt my day, maybe I have a hard time taking them, or normal people around me, the words I use with people online, better indicator of my heart than my informed or enlightened political opinions.
That is true.
Even.
If the Bible is to be believed.
If it's to be believed, then we...
we kind of believe it.
For sure, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We're in on that. So, I mean, it's good for me to remember that. So I thought I would tell you this. Like, that's the indicator right there, how I'm actually treating humans around me. A lot of the songs that you hear here on our station are about... They'll have sub-themes of healing, like God wanting to heal us. I was just thinking about that. Like, the worst place to be... If you've got any kind of terminal condition, like... A real physical condition is terminal. The worst place to be is in denial.
Oh, yeah.
You could be at the best hospital in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The top hospitals, and you could be in one of them. It doesn't matter.
If you're in denial, you can't be helped.
Can't be helped.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
Because you think you don't need it.
You don't need it. Yo, I'm fine. So sorry, I'm out. And here's Jesus, who's the ultimate healer, the great physician. Allows for that.
Mm-hmm.
Allows for people to check out a lobby going, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here only for the sick.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out they are sick, but they're not going to admit it. So there's this thing called humility that he's really mm-hmm. big on. Like, here's where the healing actually starts. It is a great time to refinance or get a mortgage right now because of low interest rates. Our podcast sponsor, one of them is Fellowship Home Loans. They're awesome. Mike and Brian are fantastic to talk to. Here's their number, 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE, or just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com. Okay, we're going to start the street thing, and then I want you to be like, hey, I wonder if Brant's around. Okay, and then
oh, my goodness. Do we have to keep rolling out new scripts and things? Okay, fine. That's fine. I wonder if Brant is around.
Hey, Sherry! Hey!
I guess he... Don't have to run so hard when you come over here. Try to just.
Hey.
It's okay.
What's going on? You've been traffic wondering if I'm
so
around.
Busy.
Oh, yeah, traffic's busy. I had to run through there real
yeah,
quick.
Like Frogger.
Were you wondering if I was around?
Ironically, yes, I was.
Cool.
Thinking
well,
to myself and saying right. out loud.
Well, I brought my boombox.
Did you?
Yeah. I got my song. It's my jam.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So. We're hanging out here on Dilemma Street. This is where we talk about people's dilemmas, knowing that we're not professional counselors.
And they know we're not professional
and
counselors.
They know it.
Everybody
we know
knows it.
It.
Attorneys know it.
I'm wearing my leather jacket because it's getting to be fall again.
Yes. Still a little.
Got the triple dragons embroidered on the back.
Absolutely.
It's my gang.
And guys, he pointed to the back
yeah.
with both thumbs.
With both thumbs. I pointed back there. Shows how cool I am. So, you know, we just want to talk about stuff, and if we have anything that helps, wonderful, and if not, then we apologize, but at least you get somebody to kick this around with.
Sure.
If you want to send us a dilemma, by the way, it's so simple, it's just brant@branthanson.com, B-R-A-N-T at B-R-A-N-T-H-A-N-S-E-N.com.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. She wants to call herself Jay.
All right.
I want to start off by saying it's becoming a fulfilling habit to listen to you guys every day. That's really nice.
That's sweet.
I miss you if you're on the air, and then I go straight to your podcast, and very nice. I'm extremely blessed that God led me to the radio station you're on, and I love that you guys work together.
Oh, sweet.
To help listeners. Sherry, your laugh is so contagious. I love that it moves me.
Thank you.
So feel free to call me Jay. I'm on Dilemma Street wearing my Vans that I customized with basketball shorts, okay, long socks, and a white shirt, feeling casual today with my pink angel wing gauges in my ear.
Woohoo!
I don't have friends that I can say have my best interest at heart, and I pretty much sit apart from my family. So I really need some advice. I'm a young Christian, as well as a single mom of three beautiful children. The kids are 16, 13, and 8. I've been doing the best I can for them, but I'm really starting to face some issues with finding what I want for myself. I pray and I feel like in my life it has to be for a greater purpose than what I'm seeing, and I'm trying to dodge the bullet of feeling alone, wanting companionship. There's this person that's been in my life on and off. I've known him before I went deeper into changing my way of living, to now trying so hard to adjust from doing things we used to do. I truly love him and see that being around him helps him in ways of bettering who he is. I am an extrovert, and it lifts my spirit to be able to do for others when I'm unable to do for myself. I'm in this place when I'm stuck because at times I feel like maybe he's not the man God wants me to be with. I don't want to force it because it may feel it mess up whatever plans God may have for me.
Okay.
What do you suggest I do? I'm sorry, this may have seemed long, but I appreciate any advice you have. I love you guys.
Sweet.
Very sweet. A couple things jump out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Three kids, 16, 13, and 8. And you say a little bit later that you're trying to figure out like what you need a greater purpose. And I would love for you to be really ecstatic with the purpose that you have already in front of you. I would love for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our culture does not generally allow for that. You're not supposed to be content without X or Y, usually romance and career advancement and money and blah, blah, blah. I know that's the way our culture does it. And that kind of goes along with desires that you already have, right? I mean, we all have desires for romance and further accomplishment or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it really would be wonderful if you could say, this is for a season. I've had these three in my charge. And I got to tell you, most of the time, now there are exceptions, and I know people will listen and go, that wasn't the case for us. But most of the time, introducing a stepdad is not great for the kids.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But you can look at all sorts of data about this, and it can be very, very difficult. And it's particularly alarm bells just going off for me when you're saying, basically, you became a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there, it sounds like. That's what I'm reading between the lines.
Mm-hmm. And you're helping him be a better person.
And you're helping him be a better person. They don't need a project in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need your project in the house. They are your project.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need somebody else that they don't quite know. Like, who is that to them?
Mm-hmm.
Is he their new authority figure? Mm-hmm. It's very, very confusing. And this, again, you're at 16, 13, and 8. This is a season, and it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to encourage you to do what my mom did and what Sherry's mom did, which mm-hmm. is to go, I'm going to finish the race with these kids,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll see what happens. In my mom's case, she did get married
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
and it's worked out awesome. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was in high school. I didn't know what to think of the guy. It was weird for me,
mm-hmm.
but I was in high school my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 16 when I met him, 17, and there's this guy my mom's dating.
Mm-hmm.
It was really weird.
Mm.
And he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just an awesome man. Here we are decades later.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing he has been in my life.
But she waited till you graduated.
But she waited.
She?
It yeah. was until I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very thankful for that. I can't tell you how thankful, but I couldn't have told her that then. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids aren't going to be able to advise you on this. But but several alarm bells are going off. So that's what occurs to me on this. I would love for you to find contentment in the beauty and joy and poetry and the heroism of what you're doing as a single mom, mm-hmm. to be in those kids' lives and being everything for them that you can be. It's really wonderful what you're doing. It doesn't sound to me, without knowing all the particulars, like this guy is going to be something that's good for them.
Right.
I don't know if you got any other thoughts, you can add them on.
I loved what you said.
Okay, good, all right.
I have some younger women in my life who I adore, and a couple of them are pregnant and very smart, very ambitious, could do anything career-wise. And battle that because of what you said, what our culture says. And I remember saying to one of them, you know, making good humans is, I don't know a job that's more important than that.
I don't understand. Yeah, it's absurd that it's not considered like one of the highest callings.
Yeah, I understand. I understand now that you're, you know, kind of, it's not even inferred. It's just basically you're told you're supposed to do that and that and that and that and be this and that and that and that. And I said, I don't know a harder job and I don't know a more important job than to make these humans, make great humans. Do all you can to do that. And I have to say that was my mother's singular focus.
To the benefit of thousands of people.
Well, yeah, I guess so, huh? I never thought about that.
Yeah, right? To the benefit. So she's got, so Miss Bev has this enormous influence that can't be calculated because of her saying no to the more obvious influence of feeling like she needed whatever.
And she, I want to be clear, I do remember being a teenager. My mother's gorgeous. She's gorgeous now. She's 70-something years old. She's a gorgeous woman. And I remember men being interested. And I remember her making a specific choice. I remember hearing her tell one of her friends at the house, it always makes me want to cry, I'm not going to have uncles running around here. I'm not going to have, I had two responsibilities, and I'm going to see that through. Mm-hmm. And so I will tell you, Jay, from the kids' perspective, every single day that I have on this earth with her is for me to make sure she understands the magnitude of that decision, mm-hmm. and to celebrate her for it every single day.
Yeah, she's reaping the harvest.
She is.
Of what she sowed. And there was
some lean years right after.
Right, of course.
But the fact that it's just so important. It's everything. It's everything. That digging in and saying, no, I will, these kids will know Jesus. These kids will understand how to function in the world. And I'd come home, there were certain things she wouldn't let me do that my brother could. And it just all these different things. And she'd say, I don't know how other, I'd say, why did they get to, I don't know how other people operate in the world.
Such strength.
Yes. And if you do it, I can't begin to tell you how difficult it will be because I'm not married. I haven't been married and I don't have kids. So I can't tell you. All I can tell you is from what I've seen in my mother, and ultimately, I think she would say it's worth it.
Yeah, much respect. Much respect.
Yes.
And to you. One thing you could pray for maybe would be for friends.
Yes.
That can keep you busy socially and mm-hmm. keep you encouraged.
Yeah.
And who know God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not talking about perfect, pious people or whatever. Just but people who want him. Mm-hmm. And that's our biggest problem. It always is. We always get tripped up on this. Nobody's unique in this way, but it's always, we have desires that are understandable, but then they get out of order and they take the house down with them.
Yeah.
And it happens so many times. If somebody's listening to this too, some people are very black and white and by nature. And you know what? We need you. That's not, Sherry and I both tend to be more like, there's this whole, well, yeah, but this, what about this nuance?
Yeah.
Somebody could be listening to this and going, oh, you're always saying, children shouldn't have step-parents. Well, my stepdad was like, no, we're not saying that at all. No, but there's several warning bells here.
Yeah.
And in general, what I'm saying is true.
Yeah.
Anybody who's had a great step-parent, that's wonderful.
Right.
But you also know the cost if that person wasn't so great.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, And it sounds to me like just aiming to finish strong here would be a really good idea. It's a season.
You know what else is a community of believers? And also, my mother was very much this, still is, and yours is too, is that she was just very open to people who needed help. And not in a, and I'm going to be frank, not in a romantic situation.
Yeah.
So I always saw my mother saying, oh, the girl had a baby, she don't have no pamper. Sherry, go out there and get her. You know what I mean? She was very involved that way. And you said you're a helper and you like to help people.
Yeah, do it.
That get into that situation, because I remember that of my mother too. And she's still that. And your mother is still that.
Totally. And you know what? Carolyn, my wife, had this brilliant observation when the kids were with us when they were little. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I just want to get away. Sometimes I get like, but they're always watching me, evaluating this, evaluating that. They open their mouths and say this or that. And she realized like, that's how Jesus had to feel about his disciples. like they keep talking. They're always watching.
I just want to get a break here.
Yeah. And
that's a great point.
It really is. But that's like, you're in a discipling role with these three kids. Mm-hmm. So seize that. And it doesn't mean you're an expert. Mm-hmm. It just means you're living out. You're doing the stuff Jesus told you to do. Like Sherry was saying that our moms both did, and that does shape them. Mm-hmm. So here's your chance. This is your window is open. It's closing, but you may want to get on that. And it's such a beautiful thing that you're doing. So we hope this is somewhat helpful.
Yeah.
At least to kick it around with some people, even if you're like, I don't like what you said.
Well, we respect you asking.
Totally. Oh.
Even that means the world.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're answering a lot of your own questions here, honestly, between the lines, but much respect you, other single parents, single moms, single dads for what you're doing with those kids.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.